This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, homeschool father of five. Steve Vaughn, homeschool father of six, in studio today. And lately I've been getting all these magazines in the mail. I don't know, I think my daughter might have signed me up through a Mileage Plus thing to all of these magazines. I got New Yorker magazine.
New Yorker?
Yeah.
Wow.
High society.
You're way up there now.
Big time.
Yeah, I can tell. You've changed.
Yeah.
I can tell by the way you dress.
Got the plaid shirt from Walmart, $6 for this thing.
Yeah. It looks good.
Does it? Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I bet you could walk into, you know, any high restaurant now, people call you sir and seat you. And
well, they do. Yeah. I got the special card for Saltgrass Steakhouse down here in Parker.
Yeah.
They treat me like a king.
Wow.
Got the membership card.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm climbing up in human society here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I've been reading New Yorker magazine recently. There's an 8-page article on nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. What would happen if a nuclear bomb went off in Times Square in New York City?
Wow, you're talking millions dead.
Yeah, it's quite an article. But, you know, it's okay because Trump just met with Kim and everything's good.
Yeah.
Right? Everything's going to be fine now.
Yeah, we can all relax.
Yeah, exactly. Sit back, relax. Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Yeah. Alrighty.
All right. So, interesting article from New Yorker magazine. It's an 8-page article on what would happen if a nuclear bomb went off in Times Square. And here's the stats, just a couple of interesting stats. Again, this is to introduce something of a vulnerability for a modern man. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. God is totally sovereign over what happens with the nations. And so, but here are the stats relating to nuclear bombs as we have entered into a nuclear age. And it's not as if access to nuclear weapons has decreased since the Cold War. It's actually increased.
Yeah.
By a long shot, 40 nations have access to weapons-grade material. 40 nations now have access to weapons-grade material. 40 nations. 40 countries.
That's a
lot. And most of the nations are not headed by God-fearing leaders. I think one is. No, not that one.
No, wait.
Oh, wait. Yeah. No, it is. Maybe not. Maybe is. Well, yeah. Steve, This is rough. Now, see, some people will trust man. They'll say, well, there's no problem here because man is essentially good and man always does the right thing. Now, that's not my anthropology. My anthropology is that the hearts of men are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. They have all gone out of the way. Their feet run to shed blood. They don't just like mosey to shed blood.
Yeah, there's no one good, no, not one.
That's right. So it's Romans 3, and I realize that this somewhat Calvinistic, shall I say it, this somewhat Calvinistic view of human nature has been somewhat helpful in protecting nations, but when nations turn towards this assumption that man is essentially good, and here, have a little power, and let me give you some buttons. If you push these buttons, you will destroy tens of millions of lives. Have at the button. Okay, that's not a good thing to give to somebody whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Are you with me?
I am with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, friends, does theology matter? Does anthropology matter? Does it matter what view of human nature we take? Absolutely. And the perspective that most Christians have taken towards the nature of man has produced, well, what we have today. And so there are 2,000 tons of weapons-grade material in 40 countries. That's enough to make 40,000 bombs the size of Hiroshima's bomb. And I believe that's about enough bombs to wipe out most cities around the world with a population larger than Colorado Springs.
Yeah, that would be mass destruction.
Moreover, there are 762 known instances of stolen radioactive material since 1993.
How many was that again?
762 known instances.
Wow.
Of stolen radioactive material since 1993. Boy, that's not going to work for a bedtime story.
No.
In 2002, several nuclear laboratories constructed an off-the-shelf nuclear weapon. And they did this, I think, on the instruction of a congressional Senate committee, without resorting to any illegal activities or drawing on classified information, these guys, using only commercially available parts, built a nuclear bomb bigger than a bread box, but smaller than a dump truck. And they brought the device to the Senate floor to demonstrate it. Well, they didn't exactly demonstrate the bomb, but they showed it to the U.S. Senate. That was back in 2002. And apparently a 10-kiloton nuke, the size that hit Hiroshima, can fit in a van. They can get it into a shipping container, ship it off to New York Harbor, get it off into a van, and then if you detonate on the ground in Times Square, it would kill 550,000 people.
That would be immediately.
250,000 killed by the blast, about 500,000 killed by the fallout or wounded by the fallout. A single bomb would be 200 times worse than 9/11. And a 250 kiloton bomb, this is the size that the North Korean government has tested, that would kill not 550,000 New Yorkers, but 3 million New Yorkers. And it would be 1,000 times worse than 9/11. An 800 kiloton bomb could kill 4.6 million. A 5 megaton bomb, and China has this level of killing power, one 5 megaton bomb would kill 8 million people in New York City. Now, this article, I'm sure, would be a very helpful article to somebody who happened to be a member of a terrorist organization, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Who was seriously considering doing some damage to New York. So I'm not exactly sure why they would publish an article like this, but I think it is important for us. Now, why would I bring this out on a program? Because I think it's important for God's people to not fear nuclear bombs, but to fear God. Because the beginning of knowledge and wisdom is the fear of God. And God is in control of these things. And the nations are vulnerable. Now, the nations don't believe they're vulnerable. The nations don't believe that anybody could possibly push the button. But the modern world, the Western world, has tried an experiment. Now, they've set out and they said, hey, let's try an experiment. Let's turn the whole Western world into Sodom and Gomorrah, and let's see what will happen. Now, how is that experiment going to work out, Steve?
Probably much like Sodom and Gomorrah.
See, that's the thing that I think Christians need to come back to. Is God still in the heavens?
Yes.
Does he still judge nations and nation states?
Amen.
He does, and he still calls them to repentance. And back in the Old Testament, he winked at many of the nations, but now, according to Acts chapter 17, he calls all men everywhere to repent. So it seems to me that the nations should be more in fear of God today than they were even 10 years ago, because they are more vulnerable to the judgment of Almighty God than they were 10 years ago. Remember, the first nation to turn towards homosexuality and homosexual marriage was the Netherlands in 2003. That was just 14 years ago. Now, has the situation changed in 14 years? Yes. Almost the entire Western world, with the exception of maybe just a couple of islands making up, what, 6 square miles, has turned towards the neuronic agenda. I think it's important for people to understand that. Now, man is also very, very sure of his high morality. That man is much, much more moral than he was in the 1930s, 1940s.
Right. Yeah, I would.
America would never turn towards homosexuality as the Berliners did in the 1920s and 1930s. Remember, homosexuality came out of the closet in the 1920s and 1930s. And then Hitler, and then World War II, and 100 million dead bodies around the world, constituting the largest world war in the history of the world, following the eugenicist teachings of Charles Darwin, Herbert Spencer, that highly infected the Japanese way of thinking through the university system in Japan, and highly infected the way of German thinking in the 1920s and 1930s. That's right. It was the Darwinian concepts and, of course, homosexuality that was really the environment that set the direction for the German Republic and World War II of the 1930s and 1940s. But man today is so sure of his high morality. Man is just much more morally sensible today than he ever has been before, such that he would never, ever do anything like what Adolf Hitler was doing in the 1930s and 1940s. I just don't buy it.
No. No, they may be moral in their own eyes, But the question is what's their morality compared in God's eyes?
But they also say this. They say, well, yes, I realize that 40 nations have access to radioactive material, and most of the nations that have this radioactive material and these nuclear bombs that could destroy entire cities to the point of 3, 5, 7, 10 million at a time, these people are far, far more rational today than they ever have been.
That's a
joke. You don't buy that one either?
I don't buy that at all. No. I coach speech and debate, and that's one of the things we have to teach is rationality and critical thinking. We don't see that. I mean, watch Bill Jack and who's the other guy that goes out on the street, has videos, 180.
Ray Comfort.
I mean, you watch some of his interviews. You will see a total lack of rationality.
So do we trust the nations with their hands on the buttons, my friends? Are we A-OK with where the world is today? Are we doing much better today than during the Cold War of the 1950s and 1960s? Where are we today? Let me read this from Psalm 48. For behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. They assembled in the United Nations. They assembled in the EU. They assembled against Christ and his anointed. They assembled against Jesus. They established every immoral policy they possibly could during the 1990s and 2000s. Behold, the kings assembled. They came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were put in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there. Anguish as of a woman in labor by the east wind. God, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. That is, the Church of Jesus Christ will continue. Despite the world wars and the nuclear disasters, the Church of Christ will continue on and on and on, but the judgment of God will also continue. Once more, he will shake the world so that that which cannot be shaken will remain. And we'll be back in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we consider this New Yorker article on a nuclear bomb blast going off in Times Square, New York City. I think the whole idea of the article is to scare us into disarming. Steve, I think that's their approach, which is obvious. The liberals have been doing that for a very long time. They're trying to scare us into disarmament because they believe that disarmament is the solution. And we probably should consider the possible solutions, one of which is disarmament.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a good solution, given that the hearts of men are, well, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked.
See, yeah.
We still have that issue. And the New Yorker does not agree with that particular view of anthropology or the nature of fallen man.
Yeah, we're
all
born
good. They don't believe that man has the potential to be an Adolf Hitler. Oh, wait, there was an Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
I don't know how they treat these things, but they just don't believe that man can be that bad. But yeah. he was that bad, wasn't he?
And still is. I mean, you take a look at Kim Jong-un, and you take a look at other dictators who have killed millions of their own people.
Well, this is the Gods of the Copybook headings from Rudyard Kipling. And he's got this verse that he says, when the Cambrian measures were forming, they promised perpetual peace. They swore if we gave them our weapons that the wars of the tribes would cease. But when we disarmed, they sold us and delivered us bound to our foe. And the Gods of the Copybook headings said, stick to the devil, you know. Meaning that man is depraved, don't trust him. And don't trust him with a button. But now the question is, should we really get behind the weapons of mass destruction? I don't happen to believe that the weapons of mass destruction is a biblical approach to warfare. I don't believe that killing masses of women and children in large cities is God's approach to warfare. And I don't believe that killing fruit trees is God's approach to warfare either, because of Deuteronomy chapter 20, which gives God's rules for warfare. And Christian governments should be somewhat distinguished from the cruelty of the communists and the Nazis. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that? Should we act like communists and Nazis?
No,
we should be something different. But how different might we be from the communists and the Nazis? Deuteronomy 20. We submit to God's rules of warfare. That's what makes the difference. We submit to God's system of morality. We don't go after the innocent non-combatants. We don't go after women and children. No way, no way, no way. So we focus on Star Wars laser systems, precise weaponry that can go after the missiles and bring them down. We focus on the things that matter, defensive systems. Of course, that hasn't been said since roughly Ronald Reagan. Remember back when Ronald Reagan spoke of these things, but there hasn't been a whole lot of funding of these things. Why? Because there isn't a biblical worldview that effectively is getting behind a Deuteronomy 20 vision for defensive weaponry in the 21st century. Somebody better develop something of a nuclear missile protection system across this country. And, of course, the use of laser systems will be absolutely essential in the years to come. Now, here's another possible solution to the problem. I mean, again, we're suggesting solutions to the problem, given that we are in a nuclear age. Solution number two, elect unstable people who are likely to push the button if they get mad enough.
That's one solution.
you're not on board with this one.
No.
Okay, well, I mean, that's just a solution. I'm just saying there are unstable people out there, men who don't fear God, and it's clear they don't fear God by their own testimonies. So I'd be cautious there, and it's not a good solution. Okay, here's another solution. You ready for this?
Sure.
Repent of your sins and cry out for the mercy of God.
That sounds biblical.
That might work.
Yeah. Humble yourselves and pray.
You know, it's interesting that the last call for a day of repentance, prayer, and fasting in this nation happened 3 months before Gettysburg.
That's a long time ago.
1863.
Wow.
That's a very long time ago. I'm not aware of another proclamation for a day of repentance, humility, and fasting in American history since 3 months before Gettysburg, which, by the way, was the turning point of the Civil War,
mm-hmm.
or rather uncivil war.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, repent of our sins. Cry out for the mercy of God. That would be wonderful. We're going to get one of these red hats that says, make America humble again. You like it?
That's good.
And one of our guys is going to order it. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it on the air.
Yeah. So everybody can see you?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You like that? Make America humble.
Yeah.
Now, we're tossed up on whether to add the word again.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, where do you land on that?
Yeah. We may have been when
1863.
Yeah.
Or William Bradford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the 1700s.
Yeah. So, yeah America was humble back then.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the third solution. So, again, friends, you know, there are people concerned about nuclear weaponry and the real possibility of plumes over our largest cities across this country. And friends, we are vulnerable to this. So what should we do? What should pastors do How should they preach? How should the prophets of the day stand up in the city gates or on the radio stations across this country? And what should they encourage their leaders to do? Repent in sackcloth and ashes. That would be a good solution. Now, some people say, well, what does that have to do with nuclear war? Everything. That has everything to do with nuclear war. Why? Because God has everything to do with everything.
Amen to that.
So, all right. Well, how do you keep China from getting mad enough to drop a 5-megaton city buster on us? That's a good question. Again, vulnerability. People are unstable. God is definitely exercising common grace to keep things somewhat stable economically. When things go unstable, the next worldwide depression, somehow the tariff thing doesn't work out and China gets mad. And China thinks that somehow it's going to lose, you know, I don't know, $1.8 trillion of their gross national product next year because the tariff situation is out of control or whatever it is. Okay, what if China gets so mad they want to drop a 5-megaton city buster on New York City? What could possibly prevent that? Let me suggest this. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. What about that? Does God have control of the hearts of the leaders in China?
Yes.
Does he have their hearts in his hands? Does he turn it whithersoever he wills, like the rivers of water? Does God do that to the leaders of China and to all of the hundreds, if not thousands, of terrorist organizations who are considering launching some kind of a nuclear weapon in American cities? We are so vulnerable to this kind of thing, but who in the world can possibly control all of these hearts? The hearts of the madmen that lead the terrorist organizations across the world. Who in the world can possibly control all of these hearts but the Lord of the heavens, the God who holds all things in his hands, the empires of the world just simply dust in the balances as far as he is concerned. He controls all of the empires all the way back to Egypt, to Persia, to Greece, to Rome. He controls all of the powerful men in the world. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Ultimately, God is in control of all of these delicate situations. There's one more point that probably should be added before we're done, Steve, and that is, you know, it may not be the best idea to live in the larger cities. And the reason for that is because you don't drop a $20 million bomb on Elbert, Colorado, because you only wipe out 4 people and 6 cows, and that's just a lot of money for that kind of armament.
Yeah, weapons of mass destruction is meant for the masses,
right,
and the masses are found in big cities.
And these armaments, you know, they go from like, the destruction path is maybe a quarter mile, half a mile. And you do that down here in Road 17, you're going to hit like 3 cows. I'm serious. And maybe 1 house.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 house. So you might as well consider that the large cities, at least if you're raising families, the large cities may not be the most healthy place to raise a family, both physically and spiritually. So just consider that, my friends. The article is actually rather honest at the end, and they point out that within weeks, the trees and the shrubs begin to grow back, and within a year, the flowers are blooming again, and it's not the end of the world. And so it's interesting that the article does bring this, but it does present the tragedy, the tremendous tragedy of the loss of mass numbers of human lives, and that can happen so easily with our present situation. Sadly, science and politics is not focused in the right direction. Neither science nor politics has really feared God. Political science majors are not taught in the fear of God in American university classrooms, and that's why we have come back to this topic again and again. This is why we have spoken across the country over and over and over again on the importance of Proverbs 1:7 in every homeschooling conference we could possibly speak at. Don't waste your time at any conference or any school that will not teach in every single session that the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is the fear of God, the worship of God, the acknowledgement of God, the submission to God. Science and politics has been presented in American university classrooms not in the fear of God, and therefore we're setting ourselves up for the greatest disaster you can possibly imagine. You know, some have said it might be a better idea to employ a fusion towards creating a form of energy that could be helpful to humans in every continent around this world, rather than focus our energies on creating weapons of mass destruction. Let's beat some swords into plowshares, my friends. What if we beat some fusion into useful energy for poor families in Africa? How about that? That would be a great use for science, but that would only happen if we would only have an emphasis and a focus and a priority set upon helpful science, if the beginning of wisdom and knowledge was the fear of God. So let's begin there. That's what we do first and foremost in our homeschool curriculum, in our Christian school curriculum, and we need to be sure that we defund all forms of education, whether it be university education or K-12 schools, that refuse to teach the beginning of wisdom and knowledge as the fear of God. So that is our agenda. First and foremost, without the fear of God, everything is going to come apart. But with the fear of God, we have a foundation for science, politics, and human life on planet Earth. And we're going to end on that note on this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Let me encourage you to our book, Freedom, which gives a good perspective of a Christian view of the application of politics from a biblical worldview perspective. And that is the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. And be sure to get our curriculum that is Christian worldview-based, fear of God formed curriculum that addresses many of these liberal arts subjects, whether it be political science, like the book Freedom and its companion guide, as well as all of our history books and literature books written from a distinctively Christian worldview perspective. And again, we have resources now for 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th and 12th grades for your junior high and high school students. All of that curriculum now available for the 2018-2019 school year at our website, generations.org. Go there now and get our Christian worldview-based curriculum for 7th through 12th grades. That's generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.